When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Blue White Breakdown, the premier podcast for all things Penn State football.
Talk about culture. It's something that should show up in every aspect of your program.
It's the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live.
Here are your hosts, Bob Flounders and Johnny McGonigal.
Okay, Penn State fans, Bob Flounders, Johnny McGonigal. The weather has been great. It's Wednesday, a little before noon as we're going to record this Blue-White Breakdown. Johnny, we were up at practice on Tuesday. It was almost 80 degrees. It's going to be probably 70 today. I don't know that the Blue-White game, it might be a little chilly or windy on Saturday, but no rain. I'm excited. The big day, sort of big day, is finally here. How are you doing? We've almost made it through spring practices. We were up there for another long Tuesday. You had a nice little long ride up. You're going to have a long ride back. So you're a trooper. How are you holding up? And I, real quick before, and also as a combo, when you covered Pitt for the Post-Gazette, can you just tell the Penn State fans, what was it like covering maybe a Pitt spring compared to like a Penn State spring under James Franklin?
Ooh, that's a lot, Bob. So I'll start with how I'm doing. I'm doing well. It's
easy part out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're recording this Wednesday morning. It's been a busy morning for me, Bob. I had to get on the pre-sale for the Liverpool preseason game that's being played in Pittsburgh. An excuse to go back to Pittsburgh. I missed the Philly pre-sale. Probably will be buying third market on that one to go to the games, but up the Reds. No, it's been a busy couple days though, Bob, because I got up here, Monday night because, Tuesday morning I was at the Morgan Academic Center, which is attached to the Lash building, set up in a conference room, for some one-on-one interviews, with some sit downs with Drew Aller, Julian Fleming, new offensive coordinator, Andy Kotelnicki, some really good stuff from all three of those and bigger stories on those three coming in the weeks ahead. So Penn Live readers, keep an eye out for those. And then we had practice and then we had interviews. And yes, Bob, spring is coming to an end this weekend with the Blue White game. And it's been eventful, or, there's been some news. There's been some developments with the transfers in. There's going to be transfers out very shortly. The portal opens again on April 16th, which is next Tuesday, something that we'll be discussing as we move along. But to answer the Pitt end of it, there was a little bit more access from what I remember in terms of just number of practices that we were able to get to. But Penn State gets us, they get us James and they get us an assistant coach and a few players every week. So,
yeah, no. I just was wondering, like, did Pat Narduzzi, could you watch practice at Pitt? And what was, there are some restrictions in place for the Penn State viewing. But I was just curious, like, I don't think the Pitt beat is quite as big as the Penn State beat, but I didn't know how long you could watch practice and what the rules were like there.
Yeah. The window was longer. From what I remember, it might've been 20, 25 minutes. It was like 3-4 years ago now. So it's kind of tough to remember. I think it was like 20, 25 minutes. And I think we were afforded maybe 10 minutes last night. My math was right if I was looking at my clock right. You got to see a little bit more and you got a little bit better of an understanding of who's positioned where in terms of not only positions literally, because you got guys changing positions, but where they're at in the early depth chart, because it is still April. There's a lot of position battles that will be won in August, but.
So with the Penn State availability, this was the last availability before the The blue-white game, Penn State fans, in case you haven't heard, the blue-white game is Saturday, 2 o'clock. Admission is free. The parking lots open at 8. They're gonna zonk you for some money if you want to park, I think. But the game will be on the blue-white, no, the Big Ten Network, the blue-white network. What am I saying?
I think we're going to see the blue-white breakdown. Are we going to live podcast throughout the
blue-white break? Yeah, we're going to live podcast it while we're tailgating. That should be fun.
Yeah, that'd be better.
2 o'clock. But, Johnny, we got to talk to a couple of very interesting, talented, I think, Penn State players. I would say three of them, really. Three key players. A.J. Harris, the transfer corner. Dennis Sutton, the third-year defensive end who is now going to be a starter. And don't undersell, Nick Dawkins' impact, I think, on the offense this year. The new center. Replacing Hunter Norzad, who replaced Juice Scruggs. That's a big deal. We heard from James. Let's just start with James. Not that he had a ton to say, but when it comes to the blue-white game, he did say he wants to still have some kind of version of the game and not make it like a glorified practice. But that came out of one side of his mouth. But at the other side of his mouth, he acknowledged they're pretty beat up. And I think that's always going to be the case during spring drills late in the year. They're trying to find out some things. And when they do go live, people are going to get banged up. There were some key players missing at practice. We don't know. To what extent they might, why they missed it or if they're hurt. But I'm just curious. I mean, given the fact there's a really good chance, I think, that it might not be much of a game again, just because of the limitations maybe on the roster. And also the guys that are healthy, Johnny, the veterans, they're going to be treated a little bit differently. They don't need to play and at all in the blue-white game. So I don't know how much fans can expect to see. But if I was a fan, Johnny, I think you were in agreement. You want to see the January enrollees and the second year players and just see kind of what they look like.
Yeah, definitely, Bob. And James even mentioned Olu Fashanu in his press conference when talking about those veterans, those guys who either decided not to go to the NFL and come back for this upcoming season, or guys who will have high NFL draft grades going into the 2025 draft, that they treat those guys a little bit differently in spring ball in terms of reps, in terms of exposure to potential injuries. Like, put those guys in bubble wrap. Don't let them get hurt. In the blue-white game, you need to get enough reps to obviously knock the rust off and feel comfortable and grow and develop, right? But, Tyler Warren, for example, don't expect to see much of him, especially when you have Andrew Rapelier, Luke Reynolds, Joey Schlafer, like Jerry Cross, some guys who are going to be fighting for the number three tight end role, for example. I mean, Nick Singleton and Katron Allen, like if they take more than three carries or if they suit up at all, like, expect to see a lot of Cam Wallace and Quentin Martin. I'm really intrigued to see how he fares, the early enrollee running back from Bell Vernon, who, number one player in Pennsylvania last recruiting class and could have a role for them this upcoming season. I'm sure a lot of people will be interested to see if we get a little taste of Abdul Carter at defensive end. If we don't be stunned. So I think that's kind of the message where when James is saying, yeah, we're banged up, there are injuries. We already know, from the start of spring that Drew Shelton is out until probably the summer and training camp. James confirmed that Jackson Smolak, the redshirt freshman quarterback, has sustained a significant injury and will be out for a quote unquote period of time, very specific. And then also Alonzo Ford, just under the radar one, the Old Dominion transfer from last offseason, didn't play last year. He's still injured and still working his way back. So yeah, they are banged up, but they also have just a lot of veterans that it doesn't really make sense to throw them out there.
Yeah, Johnny, let me ask you this, because I think this is here's a storyline that I think as we get closer to the start of the season and also once the season begins, as long as I've covered Penn State, it's never quite been like this. And I was kind of counting them up. So, I mean, James is talking about, protecting veterans, guys headed to the NFL and totally agree with that. Warren is a fifth-year player. Olu, was a fourth-year player last year who was, you know, a first-round pick, and totally understand. But when you really look at Penn State's roster and you really look at Penn State's 2022 recruiting class, the guys that are going to be either third-year juniors or redshirt sophomores, there are a crap ton of those guys that very likely third-year players are going to be out the door after this coming season if they just take the next progression in their development. You could count them up. It is a lot of players that either played significant roles as a true freshman or they just busted out last year. It's a long list, and you just wonder, you know, in the age of NIL and in the age of, you know, focusing on the draft, you just wonder kind of what those conversations have been like for James and his staff and these players as they get them ready for one final season, trying to keep them also happy and motivated. But the blue-white game is not on the priority list, I think, for many of these players. And that has not happened at Penn State for a while, where almost the entirety, other than maybe Tyler Warren, the entirety of the potential 2025 draft class are probably guys who are going to leave early. And you just wonder how it's going to look like, what's going to look like on Saturday, but also in the fall. It is an impressive 2022 class.
No, it definitely is. But I mean, you talked to Denai Dennis Sutton, and there were so many players from that 22 class that obviously made huge impacts, early, in that Rose Bowl season, Penn State winning 11 games. And, you know, they had some seniors on that team, obviously Sean Clifford, et cetera. But, you could tell early that there were some young players who are now more experienced players that are really big impact players for this team. I'm intrigued to see how some of those guys progress, especially as the 2025 draft looms. We got the 24 draft coming up here, Bob, in a couple of weeks. I'm also just intrigued to see which players after this spring kind of see the writing on the wall a little bit. And, you know, with the conversations that James Franklin and his staff will have with these guys, if they haven't had them already, coming up on Sunday and even Monday with the portal opening next Tuesday. I documented this, I think it was before spring camp, that Penn State is at, I believe, 99 scholarship players right now. And so the NCAA limit is 85. So you can do the math there. There's going to be some guys that will have to leave. Now, you know, this is something that James, you know, kind of batted away. And, formally, you know, the coaching staff doesn't deal directly with collectives or anything. But there is a trend going on, a growing trend, at least in college football, that NIL collectives can sometimes pitch together, you know, money for a player who was previously on scholarship, might lose the scholarship, but keep them there and help them out and everything. And that kind of, helps the numbers game a little bit. But, you know, without getting too far into that, you're still going to have probably double digit amount of players that are going to leave this program in a matter of days when the portal opens. And so just something to keep an eye on and really, all right, who's out there on the field on Saturday, who's not, and is like a veteran and a guy that like a Tyler Warren or a Nick Singleton or someone like that and Abdul Carter, but who's not there at all. There might be players who just straight up don't show up to the blue-white game because they're not going to be a part of this team beyond the next week.
Yeah, I mean, I think as this thing evolves, like spring practice and the spring game itself, it's just one of those things that I think if you're a Penn State fan and you're going to go up to the game to tailgate, I would focus on the tailgating and getting the autographs. If you're going to watch the game, maybe watch it for the first 20 minutes because it's not. James was asked about making the game competitive, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm trying to make it as competitive as I possibly can between the blue and the white." I don't know the last time I've seen a game that would be called competitive, Johnny. I know you're a gambling man. If you want to, I'll give you the white and 17.5 right now in the game for pretty much any amount of money you want. I'll take the blue side. We can see how it's going to play out. But kidding aside, I do think there is going to be some productive things that come out of the blue-white game. There are positions to be won. There are depth chart spots to be won, even if they're not going to start. The January enrollees, a couple of them, need to continue to develop. There's going to be some second year breakouts. Hopefully there won't be any injuries during the game. And maybe I buried the lead, but kind of you and I are going to be like just looking to see if there's any telltale clues about, especially on offense, what the new coordinators are going to try and do differently this year.
Yeah, I mean, would it stun me if the offense looked, you know, just similar to last year and there's not much, like Andy Kotelnicki isn't going to show his hand? Because like you mentioned, Big Ten Network is they're airing this thing. So would it surprise me at all if the offense is just very vanilla, if the defense, you know, doesn't do anything crazy? Yeah, I mean, again, like you don't want to give away too much in April. But at the same time, any little wrinkle that Andy Kotelnicki might throw out there on offense, maybe we do see, you know, for a snap, Drew and Bo on the field at the same time, just to, you know, plant that little nugget in defensive coordinators' minds and make them think about it.
This is the Blue White Breakdown.
Johnny McGonigal and I are continuing our conversation about the Blue White game, what it might look like. Johnny has not accepted my offer to take the White plus 17.5, because I think he is a seasoned, smart betting man, and he knows it's a trap, because the blue almost always kicks the stuffing out of the white, no matter what James Franklin says. But Johnny, we were just talking about maybe the, you know, Easter eggs or whatever you want to call them. They're not going to show a lot at the blue white game. It's more a chance to see the younger players and to see the future. It's almost always on display if the guys are healthy. But I do think given the turnover on the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator, I do think you and I are going to be looking maybe for some wrinkles or some tweaks that may make sense to kind of carry over, you know, when we see Penn State open the season at West Virginia. I just want to start with two things for you and get your reaction. On the defensive side, you know, having had a chance to talk to James about Tom Allen and what he said about Tom Allen, and hearing from Tom Allen a couple of weeks ago up there and talking about his defense, it's been very clear to me that he knows his stuff. Manny Diaz was great. I think they do differ in a couple of areas, and that is perfectly natural. I've always been curious about, you know, everyone's like, well, Tom can't, you know, Tom's no Manny Diaz. But, you know, Tom Allen in his life, Johnny, has never had this kind of talent to work with. So it's not really a fair comparison just because, you know, Manny Diaz probably never had the talent he had to. And I know he coached at Miami, but I'm telling you, he probably never had this kind of talent to work with either. I do think this about Tom Allen. He is a big nickel package guy. I think Penn State's going to live in a 4-2-5 or a variation of it. Given the fact that they've made that move with Abdul to the front, I don't know that linebacker is important, but I think you're going to see more defensive backs on the field. That's something to look for at the blue-white game, a lot of 4-2-5s. And I think, Johnny, my other thing for you, I want your reaction is, we've been talking, unfortunately, about the wide receiver room and James's comments and just about, you know, how much better can they get, will they get. You know, Julian Fleming could be a big part of that. But, you know, given what we saw last year, I just think that if it looks like this year's wide receiver room has improved, but not markedly, if Julian Fleming plays a big role, that's great. If Harrison Wallace is healthy, that's great. But if there's still some uncertainty about the other guys and maybe the top five, because that was a problem, that was a big problem last year. I just think that Andy Kotelnicki strikes me as a guy that says, hey, we can live in 12 personnel, right? Let's just go with two tight ends the majority of the time. If anyone else, you know, develops, you know, if Tyler Warren is healthy and Khalil Dinkins is ready and Andrew Rapoplier is ready, let's not mess around with the wideouts. Let's just load up a tight end, and I can be we can certainly be creative enough to make it work that way. So your thoughts maybe on Tom Allen, kind of what he's about, what you're looking for. And, you know, if it does look like the wideouts are just a little bit better or about the same as last year, what somebody as creative as Andy Kotelnicki might do moving forward.
Yeah, but I'll start with the Tom Allen bit of this on the defensive side of the ball. You mentioned the 4-2-5, the nickel, like that's what he has typically run and would expect, as you said, and I agree with, would expect a hell of a lot more of that in this Penn State defense. I mean, they were in it a good bit, you know, with Manny Diaz, even, you know, going back, right? But that's kind of how football has naturally progressed to that point. But he really uses it. So not only interested to see what the formation, what the scheme itself looks like, but who is filling that role of some people call it a star. Some people call it, you know, I think in his case, with Penn State's case, they're calling it the lion position, that extra DB. You know, we talked to AJ Harris last night. He said that, you know, he's played a little bit of it. You know, basically, if they need him there, he can play there. Jalen Reed has played a little bit of it. Wouldn't be surprised if Zachy Wheatley finds his way in there as well. So, you know, a lot of talent in the secondary, even with them losing three starting corners. A lot of flexibility, I feel like, in the secondary, which is the biggest thing when you're looking at what Tom Allen wants to do from a defensive perspective. On offense, with Andy, the wide receivers, like, it's one of those where, you know, and we've talked really since Andy got hired about his creativity, his ingenuity, you know, the inspired nature of how his offenses play. And I think a lot of people just think that, oh, that's just passing game. That's, you know, just strictly through the air. And it will help. Like, I think he will help Drew Aller and will help these receivers in terms of scheming them open and not just relying on them to beat a guy one-on-one off the line of scrimmage. But a lot of it is also the running game. And we saw that at Kansas. We saw that at Buffalo. And, you know, Jarrett Patterson, if anyone remembers him, I mean, he had, I think, like 19 rushing touchdowns in a season, you know, well over 1,000 yards. They might have even had 2,000-yard rushers, if I'm not mistaken. And so he plays to the strengths of his best players and puts them in best position to succeed. And so that could be Nick Singleton and Catron Allen come the season. On Saturday, it could very well be Quentin Martin. It could be Khalil Dinkins or even an Andrew Rappelyeau. You could see, you know, him break out and have a good performance. So, yeah, I mean, this is a guy who will play to his strengths, and we might not. I highly doubt we see it, you know, at full effect on Saturday at Beaver Stadium, but I would expect that to be the case once they open the season against West Virginia. And then just something on the wide receiver specifically, Bob, because, you know, it's been a point of contention, a point of conversation now for well over a year in terms of what they have and what they really don't have from a talent standpoint. And Julian Fleming injects a good bit of talent into that room. Harrison Wallace, like you mentioned, dealt with injuries last year, didn't get to see the best version of him. We'll see on Keandre Lambert-Smith and then everyone else behind them. You know, it's kind of a free for all, honestly. I mean, like, whoever decides to step up and play and cement a role, like, I don't know if that's really even happened so far this spring. That might have to wait until August training camp. But, you know, count your blessings if you're Andy Kotelnicki that you've got Tyler Warren. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm laughing because you said we might have to wait. Johnny, we waited through the entirety of the 2023 season, and James obviously never really said, hey, he finally stepped up. So-and-so finally stepped up. That is my fear this year with the wideout room. Happy to be wrong about it, but I think, you know, now that you've been around James enough, I've been around him since he's been here. He can read the tea leaves with what he says and what he doesn't say. People think he kind of, but there's a lot of truth to what James says if you know kind of how to read it. He does divulge stuff without specifically coming right out and saying it. We are now days away from the blue-white game. He has not gone out of his way to say anything about somebody stepping up at wideout. Let's just, you know, he had a chance last week to talk about Keandre Lambert-Smith when Audrey Snyder asked him about his spring. I would not describe what James said as flattering towards Keandre Lambert's development. And we're talking about a fifth-year player. This is not going to go away. The two X factors to me are the health of Harrison Wallace, because I do think it's fair to say we didn't get a chance to ever see the best of him because he just dealt with injuries, and you just don't know. He's definitely an athlete. And then Julian Fleming, what can Penn State do with him? What can they expect from him? But man, the wideout room, boy, everything you said about Andy rings true to me, and I agree with it. he is a creative guy, but if you're limited with what you can do with the wideouts, I think it's even going to be a challenge for him, giving some of the teams he's going to have to go against. And I just wanted to say this before we end up this blue-white breakdown. I talked about James, you know, and what he says about players. You talked to AJ Harris after practice. You talked to Terry Smith about AJ Harris after practice. James Franklin has been glowing in what he has said about AJ Harris. He did not say the same things about who was the corner that transferred last year, like minutes after the blue white game ended. He did not quite say anything near that about Storm Duck. So it's pretty clear to me that they got a dude in AJ Harris. And also, you know, just to get your feelings on this before you talk about AJ, if I was a Penn State fan, I would be investing in a number 33 jersey this year at Penn State, because deny Dennis. Hey, look, Adisa Isaac and Chop Robinson, fantastic players, but deny Dennis Sutton at 270 pounds. You know, he's going to get more opportunities this year, and I think he's going to run with them. And a lot of the focus has been on Abdul and his transition, and he is a first-team All-Big Ten pick coming back. But I think the only thing that has held Deny back is maybe extra snaps. The guy is a freak, and I am excited to see some Deny Dennis Sutton moving around and really causing problems. But those two players that we talked to on Tuesday, a big, big part of Penn State's present, and I think those guys have a chance to be, just when you talk about difference makers in the fall, at the very, very top of the list.
Definitely. I agree wholeheartedly with you on Deny Dennis Sutton, someone that we've talked about now for a while. Like, he looked like a man when he came on campus as an 18-year-old, and he's only developed from there, and he's bound to have a really big 2024 season. And I do think the same for AJ Harris. And, you know, I asked James about him last night, you know, just kind of how has AJ acclimated himself after coming in from Georgia. You know, he spent 1 year there, played in seven games, the first seven games of the year, and then didn't play down the stretch, entered his name into the portal. And James, like you said, Bob, was glowing about AJ Harris and about his tenacity, his aggressiveness, his athleticism. It helps that he's a younger guy too, right? He's got 3 years of eligibility here at Penn State. He's a former five-star prospect in the 2023 class, one of the best players in the portal in the winter. And, you know, for Penn State to get him, obviously a big deal for them, but it was also just kind of a job well done by Terry Smith specifically. And it also, just getting him kind of speaks to Terry Smith, because when you talk to AJ last night, he was talking about his decision to come to Penn State. And he said that, you know, when he called, because Penn State was recruiting him out of high school, and he ultimately goes to Georgia. And when AJ called Terry Smith to say, hey, sorry, I'm going to Georgia, I'm not coming to Penn State, you know, some coaches would react really negatively to that. Just basically say, you know, F you, hang up the phone, I'm done. That's not what Terry Smith did. Terry Smith said, you know, wish you good luck and hope in the future that maybe I'll have another chance to recruit you. Because that's kind of how you have to handle these things. And he did get another chance to recruit him. And that relationship really helped bring AJ Harris to campus. And so it is a very interesting and deep corner room. Terry Smith said that it might be the deepest corner room that he's had at Penn State. You know, from AJ Harris and Jalen Kimber, the Florida transfer, you got Cam Miller, who Terry said has established himself as the leader of the room, which is a good sign. You've got the two freshmen from last year that played a good bit, and Elliot Washington and Zion Tracy. Aldavian Collins is a guy who has really flown under the radar because he hasn't really played all that much, but the Mississippi State transfer from last offseason has made the biggest improvements this spring, according to Terry Smith, among the corners. So a lot of names to know, and I just kind of go back to, it's unfortunate, Bob, that the portal has poisoned my mind this way. But, you know, anytime you're talking to like an assistant coach or James, like, you're just thinking about especially when Penn State's in the scholarship situation that it's in, you're thinking like, okay, well, how might the portal affect this room, or how might this competition affect who goes into the portal? And, you know, I'm looking at corner, there could be a guy or two that leaves. especially with the amount of younger guys that they just brought in this class, in the 2024 class. You're looking at wide receiver, fully expect one, two, maybe even three guys leaving that room. And if that happens, then maybe Penn State gets in on another guy and brings another guy in to help out. Defensive end, like, they're going to rotate those guys a lot in Denai and Abdul, you know, Jamail Lyons, Amin Vanover, Zariah Fisher. But Zariah, Amin, like, those guys could start at a number of Power Five programs. So just things to keep an eye on, right, as we watch the blue-white game, as this spring ball closes up, and as that lovely transfer portal, Bob, can't wait to have push notifications for all these players and that who could leave. It's what a wonderful time the transfer portal is. Just gotta be something we keep an eye on, very close eye.
Johnny, before we close this magical edition of the Blue-White Breakdown, we kind of previewed the blue-white game. I just wanted to say, as we wrap up this blue-white breakdown, we brace for the portal and some player movement. I'm going to give you one last chance. I'm going to offer you the white at 18 and a half. 18 and a half, Johnny.
No, I'm good.
I can't go any higher. I can't go any higher. Sure.
I'll take it at 20 and a half. How about that?
No.
I'm giving you the hook. I'm giving you the 3-touchdown hook.
No. My only chance would be a late backdoor touchdown by a quarterback that I don't even know. You know, with no Jackson Smolik, I guess we'll see some Grunkenmeyer. But
yeah, so
can I count on a late backdoor touchdown pass from Grunkenmeyer to
Liam Clifford,
Amari Evans, with them down 26? I don't know that I can. I am going to stick with my original blue blowout prediction. I thought I had you on the hook for 18 and a half, but you're thinking, great minds think alike. So you're thinking it might even be 3 touchdowns or more. You're probably right. But I just thought if I was on FanDuel and I saw the blue favored by 17 and a half in this game, I probably would have jumped all over it. But you're a wise bettor. You didn't take the cheese. Kudos to you.
We don't even have the teams yet.
I don't need to know the teams. I know how James Franklin thinks. He's going to load the blue wagon, man. The white team is always the team with promise. He's going to stack the deck, unless he's listening to this, but there's been no bets. The blue team always rules.
So really quick, one, just to get back to two guys who I wanted to touch on that before we wrap this thing up. You mentioned one of them, Ethan Grunkenmeyer. Interested to see how the early enrollee quarterback does. You know, he was a consensus 4-star, really blew up in his recruitment. Not physically blew up. That would be unfortunate for Ethan, but his recruitment blew up. And he, you know, he became a really highly touted guy, Elite 11. Interested to see how he looks. And then on the offensive line, someone who we've heard about throughout all of spring ball, Cooper Cousins, as a freshman, very difficult to play as a freshman offensive lineman. But from everyone that we've heard from, it's like if it's going to be someone that breaks the mold and earns some kind of role, whether that's a starter role, whether that's a rotational role, as a true freshman offensive lineman, it seems like it could be Cooper Cousins. So he's going to be playing on Saturday. There will be, like, the offensive lines will not look like how they're going to look come the season opener. At West Virginia, you got Drew Shelton out. You've got some other veterans, you know, JB Nelson, Sal Wormley, guys who have missed some time in practice. And so the offensive lines for both these teams are, you know, it's not going to be complete to what Phil Troutwine wants it to be. But Cooper Cousins, keep an eye on him. Big dude.
Mountain of a man. I'm trying to think the last time I think you covered this guy. Remember 2016 when they said Connor McGovern was going to start as a true freshman, I think, at guard? I think he started right away. But, I mean, they played through freshmen before. But this is, I mean, I'm not saying these guys are the same player. But, I mean, Connor did play a ton at Penn State. Went on to the league, pretty high draft pick. I forget, my Cowboys took him, I think, in the third round. But, I mean, this could be another one of those deals. The difference is, I think Connor played because they had a real need, because they were still building depth. Whereas Cooper, maybe he could play, but they are much, much, much deeper along the offensive line, and the opportunity really probably isn't there for him. But I mean, if they switch roles, if you transported Cooper to 2016, Connor to this year, I think Cooper Cousins starts at Penn State, and probably Connor gets worked along slowly and plays maybe at a little this year and pushes to start next year. What do you think about that, Johnny? What do you have that comp?
Maybe. I kind of like it, Bob. Yeah. And listeners, depending on when you're listening to this, you might, you know, if you're listening to it on Thursday or Friday, my Nittany Lions to watch in the blue-white game will already be on PennLive.com. And you could bet the Cooper Cousins will be on that list. So yeah. There's
you have like 25 of them, Johnny. Is it 25 or 30 of them?
No. No.
You're too smart. You're too smart.
No.
You're wise.
No, that's insane. We're not doing that. You want me? You know what I could do, Bob? I could just like take a picture of the roster and then just embed it into a story and just be like, here are the Nittany Lions to watch. And here's like all 130 players on the roster. You'll walk on.
We are going to be curious because I think they drop the actual blue and white rosters like Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
And you and I are going to have a little text exchange when you see what James has done to the poor white team versus the poor blue team. It's not fair. He says he's trying to make it competitive. This is one time I'm not buying what James Franklin is saying. I think it's the blue team. It's the blue team's game to lose, baby.
I'll offer you 20 and a half.
No. That's right. You're not doing that. This started out as me offering you, white, and you're not turning the tables on me.
I'm a master negotiator, Bob.
I might take 22 and a half if we keep talking, but right now it's no sale.
Fair enough. It might be time to wrap it up then. All right, let's do it. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday, Bob, and looking forward to the portal opening next Tuesday. Cannot wait.
At this point, you might just want to stay up and stay at college. You've been there like for five straight days. The game's only it's like 72 hours. You could just stay up there, Johnny, if you want.
I could. I'm going to be heading back to Philly, though, and then we'll be seeing you in the press box on Saturday at Beaver Stadium. Looking forward to it.
All right. You got it, Johnny.
This has been the Blue White Breakdown, brought to you by Penn Live.